So, Bridget and Scott, prediction time here. The Bruins and Jeremy Swayman will come to a contract agreement on or before September 18th, the start of training camp. Yes or no? If your answer is no, what's your opinion on the longer it drags and just the benefit or the negatives of not getting it done sooner than later?
So I don't know if I brought this up on here.
What do you want? Do you have another podcast that you want to tell us about?
No. Just in real life. Like, I'm sure you guys probably had some of this too, but like all summer long, it was like any cookout, anything with friends, family I went to, people were like, when's Swayman getting done? When's Swayman getting done? So I had just started telling people September 14th, just to like give like a firm answer. That was just like the random date I picked and just told everyone it's getting done September 14th. That is not 2 days away as we're recording. That's on Saturday. My actual prediction now is I don't think it's getting done September 14th. And I don't think it's getting done by September 18th when training camp opens. I think this is going to linger into a few days of camp is my prediction. I think maybe by the end of that first weekend, you know, so around like 15, 16, 17, like somewhere in there. I still don't think it drags on too long, but you know, we've seen, even if we just keep it local, like in 2017, we saw David Pastrnak as a restricted free agent signed on the first day of training camp. 2 years later, Charlie McAvoy in 2019 as a restricted free agent. This was the contract before his big one. This was like a bridge contract. But he signed that 3 days into camp. He missed the first two practices of training camp. So I could see something like that. Like I could see Swayman not being on the ice the first couple of days, but then something gets hammered out. So I'll predict a no. It's not done by the start of camp. But I also won't be worried unless it starts dragging on into like a week into camp, a week and a half into camp. Like then I think, you know, you can start to worry a bit.
I don't think it's done by the 18th either. So I'm with Scott on that. I really hope it's done before September 22nd, which is the first preseason game, though Swayman probably wouldn't be playing in that anyway. You probably see Brennan Bussey or someone else in that. But still, like, you want him to be practicing with everyone. And so it has gone on longer. I can say for sure longer than I thought it would. I was in the same boat as you, Scott. People asking me, "Oh, when's Swayman signing? When's like we know." But I just always just said September. And if it ends up, you know, we're in late in September, then I'm going to start to worry a little bit because at that point, that would mean we're probably 2-3 preseason games in. If it's not done, you know, before October 1st, that's a real bad sign. And in terms of like what the holdup could be, it kind of seems like right now maybe length is an issue on the contract as well, because some of the reporting we've seen was not the full 8 years of term, which maybe isn't the amount of security that Swayman wants. It sounds like they were still moving parts in terms of length as well as actual dollars. So hopefully for everyone's sake, it gets done before the first preseason game, because I know coach doesn't like answering questions about it. Swayman's got to be sick of answering questions about it. The whole team probably is sick of
hearing. I don't think Swayman's sick. I think he wants to go on more podcasts.
Yeah, I know.
But I'm just saying it's a tired conversation to continue to have, because there's not a lot of anything new to talk about because it's not done. And I'm sure he'd just like to have it done. So
yeah. Well, but until it's done, he's not going
to
be here.
By the way, he can feel free to come on this podcast if he'd like.
Yeah. Right. But you know, to Scott's point, Swayman has been the one to vocalize it on a different platform. And then, you know, until he signs, he's not going to be at media availabilities, I would imagine. So, but yeah, you guys are kind of right on the money. I think obviously it'd be great to have him signed yesterday, And I think it would be great to have him signed for training camp. The Bruins open their season on Tuesday, October 8th, down in Florida. If he's not signed on or before Tuesday, October 1st, I think that both camps should, you know, be ashamed of themselves that they couldn't get to an agreement a week before the season. And I think both camps should wear egg on their face. Who has more? I mean, that's subjective and up to everybody to decide themselves, but just in general, like, it takes two to tango. And I think that, I just think at the end of the day, both sides need to you have to compromise. You have to meet somewhere in the middle. The reality of the situation is that Jeremy Swayman is 25 years old. He's a top five goalie in the National Hockey League, and he deserves to get paid. However, the other reality of the situation is that he's played 43 games in a given NHL season as a career high. So his workload volume is, I don't think anybody doubts it, but as far as negotiations go, he doesn't have that leg to stand on. He's a restricted free agent. So again, both sides have their leverage, but I think when push comes to shove, if both of these camps try to call each other's bluff, I think at the end of the day, the players' camp would have their bluff called before the teams. But I could be wrong about that. I'm curious what you guys think. Like, if, let's say it was like October 7th or whatever, and the Bruins were starting their season the next night, like, who do you think would be the first side to like finally give in? Probably the player side. But it shouldn't get to that, obviously. I'm just more so talking a lot for podcast sake. But yeah, I think it should get done before October 1st. And otherwise, it's going to be a shit show.
How have Korpisalo and Bussy played in the preseason in this scenario?
Well, there you go.
Like, I mean, like, I'm joking, but like, honestly, if it came to that, like, that would probably be part of the equation, you know? Like, are the Bruins sitting there going like, holy crap, we don't have another goalie? Like, Jesus Christ, we really have to get Jeremy Swayman on the ice? Or are they saying like, hey, you know what? These guys have played pretty well, and we like how they look.
How dumb would that be? If
this drags on another week, then so be it.
You can't base it off that. That would be the dumbest thing. Like, no. They have to have Swayman. Like, there's no.
But Bridget, we're talking about, if it drags on that long, we're talking about like caving. Talking about how much patience you can have. I'm not talking about like trade them away or don't sign them. No, I'm talking about like, if you're getting close to opening night, are you in any position to be able to wait out another game or two games or three games? Like, obviously we're not there yet. So like, we can cross that bridge when we get there. But
we're not there, but they haven't given us a reason to, but they keep giving us the reason to discuss because it's not done. And, you know, we are getting close. Scott, to your point, it's not the first time that a player has gone into training camp with an unsigned deal. In fact, I don't really remember much chatter about McAvoy that year not being signed, but maybe there was, but maybe the goalie position just had, but then again, McAvoy's the franchise defenseman. I feel like people would have been going crazy then too. Were they not? Or maybe they were.
No, there was some of it, but I think part of it then was that there was sort of this understanding that like McAvoy was still one contract away from his big payday. Like, I think that was a 2-year deal or maybe three. But he was still going to be, he was so young that he was still going to be a restricted free agent at the end of that. When he then finally did sign his big contract. So there wasn't, you're right, there wasn't this same anxiety because it was just sort of understood that like, yeah, he's going to get, like, I think the market was pretty well established for what a young defenseman in that situation got. And it was just a matter of getting there. And then you knew the next one was going to be his big contract. Whereas like Swayman, it's like, again, we'll see where this ends up. Like, this could be his big contract. This could be the one big payday of his career if it goes 8 years. You know, to me, like, it feels like this would be more concerning if it ends up as a shorter-term bridge deal because Swayman would then be an unrestricted free agent at the end of it. You wouldn't still have team control when it's up.
Yeah, and so Shesterkin still hasn't signed yet either, has he?
No, actually, funny you bring him up. I saw a report today that actually, I think it was from your friend Molly Walker, that he's probably waiting for Swayman you know.
And Swayman's waiting for him.
Well, but Swayman can't wait for him. Like, Shesterkin has another year. He's good for this season.
True. Least, so.
But that brings us to something Swayman mentioned on that on the Mark podcast. Was it Mark? What's his last name? Scott Lewis.
Mark Cousy. Shut up, Mark.
Like where he like talked about like trying to set the market for his like fellow goalie brethren. It's like, Swayman, I love you, but it's like that's just like that type of stuff. Kind of like it's don't let that like again. Swayman, I love Swayman. I want him in Boston for the next decade. And he's one of the best goalies in the league. But the reality of the situation is he has shared the net just about 50-50 with Linus Ullmark the last two regular seasons. And the first one, Ullmark won the Vezina. So when push comes to shove, you're an RFA that has shared the starting job. If you were to sign a deal for $64 million, call it over 8 years, like, buddy, that's amazing. Like, unfortunately, despite your top five goaltending talent and your very bright future as such, you're in a contract negotiation where you're an RFA that doesn't help them, and then you've split the net. And the reality is, you don't have Linus Ullmark next year to carry half the games. You have Jonas Korpisalo. So if Swayman's going to play, call it 55 games, that's still 12 more than he's ever played in a regular season. And that's probably, they hope that number climbs. So it's not that nobody believes you can do that. It's just that you haven't yet. And it's sometimes negotiations, always negotiations, are black and white from both sides. And that's why you're not going to get what you're asking for. And the team's not going to pay what they're hoping to pay. Just meet in the middle and get it done so that we can all stop talking about this. I don't know why everybody's being so stubborn. It's like, come on now.
Yeah, and it's sort of weird too, like the like Swayman and Shesterkin, you know, wanting to like comparing those two situations because they're just not in the same place. Like really the more comparable situation is Swayman right now to Shesterkin signing the contract he's on now. When Shesterkin signed his current contract, which expired, it was a 4-year deal that expires after this coming season. He was 25 years old, a restricted free agent, same as Swayman. The previous season was the first year post Henrik Lundqvist, and Shesterkin really started stealing the job from Alexander Georgiev as that year went on. And had clearly emerged as the number one. Just like Jeremy Swayman started stealing the job from Linus Ullmark, becomes the clear number one. Like, those are actually the more comparable situations. And Shesterkin at that time signed a 4-year deal worth, I think it was 5.6 a year.
Yeah, 5.
Which I bet, like, these reports that, like, the Bruins offered 4 by 6 or 6.2 or whatever. Like, I bet that's where that starting point was for the Bruins is, like, they're comparing him to Igor Shesterkin at the same age. Like, if that's true, like, I bet that's where that comes from.
Mm-hmm. It's a good point, Scott. Are they wrong? Yeah. Are they wrong to negotiate? Well,
we're also way? 3 years later, so like the price should probably go up by more than $500,000 a year.
Yeah, but are they wrong? Are they wrong to go with that bridge 4 years here?
I mean, I think so. Like, I would just go long term. You're going to have him his whole prime into his early 30s. Yeah. Whereas, okay, you go 4 years. If he keeps playing at this level, then you're in the same position that the Rangers are going to be in with Shesterkin, where people are talking about Shesterkin might be looking for $12 million a year. Like, I don't know. If you can get him for 8.5 now instead of, you know, fighting and struggling and playing tug of war to get him to 7.5. And then in 4 years, he's going, okay, well, now the market's at 13.
Yeah. Like, yeah. I think
I'd rather just go long term now.
Yeah. I think 8 years, call it, you know, 7.75 to 8.5 or whatever in that range, I think it's a win for both sides. I really do. And I think that should be the target. So we'll see.
Yeah. We'll see. Hopefully, it's not one of those cases where I post this and it's like, Jeremy Swayman signs got a new contract right after we talked about it.
Oh, well, we know it's coming because that's the Skate Pod way, you know?
Yes, it is. Is there anything else you guys want to mention before we sign off? I know we had put in our group chat a few different teams announcing guys that they're going to bring in for PTOs.
Right.
Pacioretty going to Toronto. Did you guys want to talk about any of those? Because there's a few that came out this week.
As it pertains to the Bruins, I don't think anybody necessarily saw him coming back because we all saw the writing on the wall, but JVR signs a PTO with Seattle. Pacioretty with Toronto, as you said, Bridget. Kyler Yamamoto, who we talked about on a previous podcast, signed a PTO with Utah. Obviously, Tyler Johnson in Boston. There's a couple others. Scott, maybe you have them up. But I think Blake Wheeler is probably the one we have mentioned that I haven't seen any news on. But yeah, definitely some movement around the league, some opportunities to some players.
Yeah, I don't have the whole list, but you touched on like the most relevant ones, I think. Pacioretty, the reports were like they intend to sign him to a contract unless something goes like horribly wrong in camp. So that seems like a little more than, oh, we're just going to bring him in and take a look. Like that actually seems like the Leafs intend to sign him. And that's an interesting move for them because, they lost Tyler Bertuzzi. They didn't really replace him. So there's a clear opening there on left wing. Pacioretty's the left wing with, long track record of scoring, who's obviously had injury troubles the last several years now. But that could be like a sneaky, really good move for the Leafs if you get a healthy, productive Pacioretty. But obviously there's a lot of questions about whether you will.
That's a guy that gets under fan skin too. And him coming back to the Atlantic would probably be a pain for Bruins fans after, the history with him in Montreal and with Boston. And but I mean, I personally think he still has enough left in the tank to be an impactful player for Toronto, like fill that gap and make the team. So that one is like there's some of these guys that are on these PTOs. It's like, I don't know if they make the team or they don't, like including JBR. I don't know if he ends up making the team. Depends on what Seattle is looking for and how he performs in camp and whatnot. But Pacioretty is someone that I would expect to land somewhere and stick. So Toronto, that'd be interesting.
Yeah, interesting is the word. It's just that, and Scott mentioned it, I mean, he's had way too many injury issues. He can't be trusted as it pertains to staying healthy, which is no disrespect to the player. It just happens. But, I mean, in the last 4 years, Pacioretty has played 48 games, 39 games, 5 games, 47 games. A point total probably around 50 over 4 years. So it's difficult. They're definitely taking a flyer on him. I'd be interested to see what he would sign for. I think off the top of my head, another couple PTOs. I think Tyson Barrie may have signed a PTO for Nashville. Old friend Jared Tenorti over in Calgary. But
that guy, he keeps getting back on the ride and just keeps he lands somewhere else every time.
Yep.
I mean, size and toughness will keep you around for a while.
Do you think Blake Wheeler will probably get one? Do you think Boston's no longer a destination potentially? I think it's not going to work out.
I feel like they would have already brought him in if that was, because like Tyler Johnson's been in town. I think he's been on the ice for a few captains practices. So
yeah,
I kind of feel like they would have already made them. I guess you can't rule anything out, but I feel like they would have already done that if they were going.
Wouldn't the same go for other teams too, though? Like,
yeah, I don't know, maybe, but there might be some teams who haven't, announced PTOs yet. Like the Bruins, we know they already brought someone in. So it's like, they've been thinking about this, working on it. So, it's now been a week since the Tyler Johnson one was announced. I feel like if there was another, we probably would have heard it by now, but still possible. There's still, 5 days before camp starts. So,
yeah. And we talked about it. There's a ton of competition right now. If you're Fabian Lysell to even crack the roster, George Mercurioff. So if you bring in Wheeler on a PTO, that's even added competition to an already stacked training camp roster. So, okay, Bridget, Scott, I think that probably wraps it up. So as you mentioned, the Bruins we'll be live streaming their three games in the prospect challenge. So Bruins fans can, you can start to watch some Bruins hockey, some players in Bruins uniforms, at least this weekend into Monday. Not exactly the big team, but some interesting names we talked about earlier. And then next week training camp starts, and before you know it, it's going to be October 8th. So a lot coming up here.
Yeah. And we'll start ramping up episodes, you know, as the Bruins ramp up here. You know, we're planning to have like a camp preview episode. We'll probably dive more into some of the roster battles and just storylines we're looking for. And then it's, you know, reaction to camp, reaction to first preseason games a week from Sunday. And they have the, this got announced and maybe it's gotten lost in a shuffle a little, but on Saturday, the day before their first preseason game, they have a black and gold scrimmage down in Providence. Mm. Which they used to do like almost every year and haven't done in a while. But that'll, you know, they'll treat that like a preseason game. Like you'll get two full teams of Bruins players basically. So
yeah. And if you're like me and you live closer to Providence,
right? There you go.
It's a good spot for you. Yeah.
Well, Bridget Scott, it's been a very fun summer doing these episodes. Obviously, there's only so much you can talk about over the course of, you know, 3-4 months in the summer, but I think we did a pretty good job. And, but as Scott mentioned, we're going to start ramping it up now. So you can expect, certainly I would say by maybe the week after next, maybe once training camp comes around, you can probably expect the Monday, Wednesday, Friday release schedule to pick back up, as opposed to, you know, two a week, sometimes one over the course of the summer. So that'll be great. And, yeah. I was talking to Bridget and Scott. I'll be in Quebec City this weekend, so I know sometimes we get some comments. So if anybody has any recommendations on good eatery, or, you know, I've been to Quebec once, but it was, I just remember walking around a little bit. So if there's anything outside the city, Scott gave me some suggestions. Bridget was so kind enough to mention that she's never been, so tough shit for me. But if anybody has.
No, I'm jealous. Can so I come with you? You just have to carry me everywhere. It's fine. It won't be too much of a burden.
Put you on the top of the car like a Christmas tree.
Yeah. No, have some poutine for me. There's some good Canadian craft beer, actually. Scott and I had some when we went to Montreal. They actually got some decent IPAs up there now. Definitely have some of that. But yeah, specific places, I can't help you, Brian. I've never been. I'd love to go.
Poutine. Yeah, I don't know that bridge would hold up too well in Quebec City right now. It is it's a great walking city with lots of hills. So. Mm-hmm.
Lots of hills.
And like stones that I would hit my crutches on. And
isn't there like a ski lift that pretty much brings you down to old there Quebec?
There is, yeah. There's like a great it's not a gondola, a funicular or something. Yeah. I forget what they call it.
I'll just take the
French word.
I'll just take the stairs. But yeah, any good poutine recommendations, that'd be great. Got a few days to check those comments, but then I'll come back and then off and running with training camp in the regular season. So, Bridget Scott, thank you very much, and thank you all for listening. We'll talk to you next week.